Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
3 years since the revolution in Libya began. The country is going through its worst period of violence since the overthrow of Gaddafi, with hundreds killed and injured in fighting between the various militias in the last week. Against this background, a huge fire in the country's biggest oil storage facility is now said to be out of control. Foreign governments have withdrawn their embassies and a weak Libyan government has little hope of bringing the militias under control. So who are the various factions and what are they fighting for? I'm joined now by journalist Mary Fitzgerald, who is based in Tripoli. Mary, thank you for joining us this morning. Can you explain to us what the current conflict around the airport is about?
Well, this is a conflict, a battle, if you like, that most people in Tripoli knew was coming. It was a matter of if and not when, not if, rather. This is a battle basically between two rival factions, which are divided along regional lines. There is something of an ideological hue to this as well, which is often cast as Islamist versus non-Islamist. But it's fair to say that it's more complicated than that. The militia that is controlling the international airport, there are two airports in Tripoli, but the international airport specifically has controlled it since the fall of Tripoli in August 2011. That militia are from the mountain town of Zintan, and the fact that they have controlled the airport, which of course is a hugely important strategic asset for any militia to have in Libya, has been resented by militias based in Tripoli, militias based elsewhere in Libya, and also residents of Tripoli itself, who for a long time have feared the trip from the city centre to the airport because it goes along what is known as Airport Road, which this militia also controls. So this was bubbling all along for years, and in recent months seemed to be coming to some kind of a head. So when it erupted 2 weeks ago, very few people were surprised. What happened was an alliance of militias, including those from the powerful town of Zintan, which is the main rival, Misrata rather, which is the main rival for Zintan, they attacked the airport during Ramadan, and the battle has continued since, ebbing and flowing depending on developments. But of course, with the oil tank being hit 2 days ago, the whole battle took a very, very serious turn indeed. And there are huge concerns in Tripoli in terms of trying to bring this blaze under control. It was a massive oil tank that was struck in the outskirts of Tripoli. And also, of course, as the government has warned, and this could be a major environmental disaster as well.
And Mary, I mean, you talk a lot about rival factions, rival militia groups. Where's the government in all of this? Has it got any of the power it would need to enforce a ceasefire or even to have an active police force working in the country?
Well, this is the question that many Libyans have been asking in recent days. Where is the government? The government has been curiously absent, apart from its statement on the oil tank fire. It seems to have taken a step back from the actual militia fighting. And this, again, is really, in many respects, not very surprising to most Libyans. They see their government as extremely weak. It's a government that has struggled to impose its authority in Tripoli, let alone the rest of the country, as real power is in Libya invested in the constellation of militias that mostly emerged during the uprising against Gaddafi, but many of them also were formed after Gaddafi fell. So that's really where Libyans are becoming increasingly cynical about the political process, because they see real power in the country as vested in these multitude of militias.
And from what you were saying earlier, it seems that some of the militias are coalescing. One figure is a General Haftar. Can you talk to me about him? He would be seen as being the head of the faction that's anti-Islamist.
Yes, Khalifa Haftar is a former general, now referred to as a rogue general in Libya, who in mid-May announced his own war against Islamist militias, particularly in eastern Libya. He managed to garner considerable public support because people in eastern Libya are fed up with the insecurity, particularly in Benghazi, Libya's second city, where there have been a string of assassinations and bombings over the last year. So he garnered significant public support. He also managed to get the support of several different militias and elements of the former army. He has failed to gain any ground as yet, and his campaign in the east is stalling in many respects. I met him at his base in eastern Libya just last month, and he claimed to me that his campaign would take at least 6 months, but that would be dependent on getting help from, as he put it, external friends, which very much suggested that the help that many Libyans had suspected he was getting from outside has not actually materialized, and the international players are very skeptical about his campaign indeed.
So, Mary, it's quite hard, I think, for outsiders to make sense of what's going on in Libya at the moment. Is there any kind of path? Are there any negotiations going on? Or is this just a question of fight it out until the most powerful militia gets a bit of control?
Well, international actors have in recent months tried to bring the various factions together, try to get them sitting around a table, try to get some form of fragile dialogue going. And the most recent attempt was a proposal by the UN just before the elections last month, which were parliamentary elections for the entire country. And this initiative essentially foundered. It was torpedoed by particular factions, anti-Islamist factions, specifically, who accused the UN of bias towards the Islamists. So several factions made it quite clear at that time that they were not interested in dialogue. Those factions believed that they were going to triumph in the parliamentary elections, and very much the sense was they didn't feel they needed to sit down with people they disagreed with or were against, because they felt they were going to win in the parliamentary elections. The parliament was basically comprised now of individual candidates. It's very difficult to know what precise complexion the parliament will have. The candidates, the successful candidates, are known, but there are very, very different assessments in terms of what percentage of the new parliament will be Islamist, what percentage will be non-Islamist. So right now, I think from the perspective of the international actors, they feel that they have tried all they can in terms of trying to facilitate dialogue, trying to facilitate some form of reconciliation, trying to get people to simply just sit down and talk to each other, and it has failed. And I think the fact that we have seen an exodus of international foreign diplomats from Tripoli in recent days points to, number one, the deteriorating security situation, but number two, I think a sense that really people are putting their hands up in the air and saying they really don't know what to do to resolve this situation.
And of course, in the background, there is the oil wealth of the country. Who is currently in control of that? Who's getting money from Libya's oil?
Well, the oil situation is also quite tricky. The eastern oil facilities, were under blockade by a anti-Islamist militia for almost a year. That blockade started last July and ended just over a month ago, following a deal that the government made with the militia concerned, which basically consisted of a payout to that particular militia. So many people are concerned that that has basically given this bad example, if you like. It's created a precedent where others elsewhere in the country, where oil facilities are based, particularly in the south, may be emboldened now to also try and blockade oil facilities in the hope of getting a rather sweet deal from the government, as this particular militia did. There's a lot of uncertainty regarding the oil sector in the country, which is related to the deteriorating security situation, and also this uncertain political outlook as well in the country. So certainly when it comes to oil prices, the oil industry, more generally internationally, there's a lot of concern when people are looking at Libya.
Okay, well, Mary Fitzgerald, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.